Hi. Let me get this. This was, Hi. So this is, all right.
Oh, well done.
There we go. Now you get most of some of our faces.
Yeah. And a little bit of dreadlocks, too.
Yep. That's, hey, that was a...
You know what? I think I'm just going to check this.
Is it recording?
I already touched it, so. I don't know. Yes.
It's recording. Okay, so put it back. All right.
It's a neat little stand.
Yeah. So, we're live videoing and podcasting at the same time. So for those listening, this is For the Love of Film podcast episode 8. This is our year-end recap.
Yeah.
And then for those of you watching, you're getting it like 4 or 5 days before it's going to be podcast available.
Right.
Yeah. So sorry that it's weird. Got that white up there. But when you're doing a...
We're in Scott's car.
Yeah. We're in the car. Keeping with tradition like last year, we did last year's top 10 in the car as well. I'm going to try...
Tomorrow is our 1 year anniversary of completing the cinematic adventure also.
It is. I thought I could move this further back, but I can't. So you're just going to have to deal with...
Yeah.
So this is our top 10, each of our top 10 picks for the year 2017.
With a couple honorable mentions.
I love that we're sitting on a, what do you call it? We're just sitting on a street in front of our friend's house.
Yeah.
Because we were going to do a Star Wars podcast. For those of you who listen to the podcast, and I know in the last episode I said the next one would be the Star Wars Last Jedi spoiler-filled roundtable. That is not happening today.
It's not?
It's not. Too many cancellations.
Ah, I was one of them.
Well, you've got stuff going on. It's tough to schedule stuff during the holidays. Hey, look, Gary Locke is watching
us. Hi, Gary.
But we are going to do it hopefully in the next couple weeks. Everyone who I talked to earlier is down to reschedule. And it's bitter cold out, which really is funny that we're sitting in a car. But
yeah.
Our friend's house.
I wish I knew this had canceled. We could be doing this at my house right now.
It takes all the sense of adventure. This is tradition.
That's right.
Because last year we did our top 10 from the car.
God, did we do miles in this car.
Yep. Well, yeah. We did a lot of miles in this car, and then I did a lot of miles in this car. I put over 10,000 miles on it in September and October.
Unbelievable.
But anyway, I know that you're on a little bit of a time crunch, so we'll get to it. So couple ground rules I set up for myself, because this is interesting. So those of you who don't know, I'm sure I've gone over it a bunch. Last year, Greg and I saw a movie in every movie theater in New Hampshire.
Sure did.
We didn't see as many movies this year together as last year.
Hey, my daughter's watching. No drive-in tonight. It's too cold, Gary.
Yeah, sorry, Gary. Hi, Jamie. So for myself, my rule was I would only put films on my top 10 that I saw in the theater.
Interesting.
To that end, hi, Jamie. two films that I want to give honorable mention, which were... they did have theatrical runs, but only in like a run is a kind way of putting it. They only played in 2 theaters and I think 3 theaters respectively.
Oh yeah.
And that was only so that they could qualify for awards, which I get it, but neither one of them were, have gotten nominated. Well, I mean, they haven't released the Oscar nominations. Spoiler alert, neither of these films are going to get nominated. But first one is a film called Blue Jay, which stars Mark Duplass and Sarah Paulson. It's a very intimate film, very intense, very realistic film. And then a movie called I Just Don't Feel... Shit, I'm going to forget it. I Just Don't Feel a Part of This World Anymore. That is totally wrong. So why don't you go to one of your runners-up while I'm looking it up?
No, you know what? I'm not going to because...
That's fine.
I will say this while I'll fill in time while you're doing this. Scott had an awesome 2017. I had a very disappointing 2017. I have a very frustrating top 10 list. There's a lot of movies, not a lot. There's a handful of movies that would qualify for 2017, but we are physically unable to see them because they're not released nationwide yet. There's probably 3 or 4 movies I would still like to see by the end of the year. Hi, Di. And
I don't feel at home in this world anymore. That's the other film.
Okay, never heard of it.
Elijah Wood. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
In fact, it was made by Netflix, but I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying that you had a great 2017, and I saw some fantastic movies, but nowhere near as many as you.
Yeah, I actually had a difficult time cutting my list down to 10 because I saw so many movies that blew my mind. Another one of the runners up was Logan, which was a fantastic film, and in almost any other year would have definitely made my top 10, but it had to be bumped out for the 10 films that I put in my top 10.
I ended up bumping Blade Runner. Blade Runner's my honorable mention. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, but
I didn't make it.
It didn't make your top 10?
No, I didn't make the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course it made your top 10.
The other thing, and it's interesting with the whole awards season, and I listen to a few other movie podcasts, Leonard Maltin's Maltin on Movies being the one that I listen to the most. You know, a lot of critics lament that all the quality movies come out at the end of the year. And that's not always the case. I mean, I had to go back and revisit my Amazing Cinematograph Facebook album to see what I had seen earlier in the year. But one of the qualifiers for me, because one of the films on my top 10 list is technically a 2016 film. However, it was only available to see in New York and LA in 2016. I didn't see it until 2017. I did see it in the theater, and it was an excellent film. And that's the same thing. There are a few 2017 films that I really, really want to see that I just can't see because they're not playing around here.
Right.
So I'm not going to revise this list after I see them.
No.
If I see them in the theater next year, they'll be eligible for my top 10 in 2018. If you disagree with that, then don't listen to my free podcast.
So movies we saw last year in the movie theater could make this list?
No, you had to have seen it in the theater in 2017.
Okay. What did you... Never mind.
There's a... I will make note of the film that came out in 2016 when I get to it in the list.
Okay.
So, do you want to get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Do you want to go first? Or you want
no,
me to
I
go
want
first?
You to go first because I'm dying to hear your list.
All right. Well, we're going to do one for one.
Right.
So my number 10, I was going to say this is the only sequel in it, but I realize it's not. My number 10 is Danny Boyle's T2 Trainspotting.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember you liking that much.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
Which
we saw at the Wilton Town Hall Theater,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah, our I think it's both of our favorite theater in New Hampshire.
It is.
An excellent. I mean, first of all, nobody was asking for a sequel for Trainspotting, and everyone was expecting it to be garbage, and it wasn't. It was fantastic.
I enjoyed it, and I'm not a Trainspotting guy.
Yeah, it was very, very different film, well acted, highly recommended. It's out on, you know, on the physical formats and on demand. It's been out for like 6 months.
Mm.
You know, we definitely saw that in the first quarter, I think, of last year, if not the first quarter, the first half.
And it was one of those movies where it just happened to be playing at the Wilton Town Hall Theater and like nowhere else.
That was the only place in New Hampshire it was playing.
Yeah. Because you had originally, we were going to go to Mass to see it, but we found out by accident that it was playing there.
Yeah.
Patronize the Wilton Town Hall Theater. It's a lovely place.
Great theater. Yep. It's in the old town hall building.
Yeah. Okay. So my number 10 is a horror suspense thriller that Scott and I saw back in March called Get Out.
Yep.
Blade Runner almost made this one, but I went back and forth with it and thought, okay, right here, right now, which one would I watch right now if I wanted to, and Get Out won. It was creepy, it was haunting, it was funny.
Very well written.
Very well written, very well performed.
Great great directorial debut by Jordan Peele.
Yeah, yeah. And there were some things, you know, I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything. You should definitely see it. There's some creepy stuff that's going to linger with you for a while.
Highest grossing, I believe it's the highest grossing horror film of all time. Certainly the highest grossing film directed by an African-American of all time.
Interesting.
Yep. I forgot two of my honorable mentions that I'm going to... Were you done?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So two more of my honorable mentions. One of them is a beautiful film I talked about it on the podcast a couple episodes ago. Loving Vincent, visually beautiful. It's the first and so far only completely painted, hand-painted animated film. It's going to get real cold in here if you do that.
No, I just turned it off.
Yeah, that's what's pumping the hot air in. Anyway, however, the story was not great, so I didn't. It disqualified it, but it's a one-of-a-kind type of film. And also, this will be interesting, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, or I guess it's not a spoiler, but this is the, well.
Just say it.
There's no Star Wars movie in my top 10.
Yeah.
And we were going to get into it more in this podcast, but I mean, if you go two episodes back, you can hear our initial reactions to that. I'm not going to dwell on Star Wars in this one because I've been dwelling on it for several episodes.
I'll make another prediction. Yeah. There's no Marvel movie in your top 10.
Huh. We'll see. Mm. So my number 9, this is a film I know you haven't seen, and this is certainly not a film for everyone. I recommended it to my friend Rick, who likes a lot of the same films as I do. He liked most of it, but he said that pie scene. So number 9 would be A Ghost Story. Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara. And despite the images used in it and the title of it, it is not a horror film at all. It is a meditation on love and loss. It's a very esoteric film. A lot of long passages where there is no dialogue whatsoever. And I know a lot of people will find it incredibly boring, but it was a very, very beautiful, moving film to me. So,
yeah, I resisted going to see that for fear of being bored to death.
Yeah, I think you would be.
But I can, from seeing the trailer, I could appreciate somebody else appreciating it.
Yeah.
My number 9 goes completely the other way. My number 9 is a little film that came out over the summer called The Big Sick. Funny, creative. It's what a romantic comedy should be. It's I cannot remember the actor's name who wrote it or the comedian's name who wrote it, but it was wonderful. If you get a chance to see it, see The Big Sick. It's very heartwarming. It's very funny.
Holly Hunter and Ray Romano are amazing in it.
They are. They're amazing in it. And it's weird to say Ray Romano is amazing in something, but he is.
He's also really good in Parenthood, which we've talked about before, the TV show Parenthood.
I've never watched that.
He's fantastic. And I'm not a Ray Romano fan, but I'm starting to become one. When he's given the chance to actually act instead of just a Deborah, it's...
that was really good.
Thanks. Been working on it all day. Big Sick is great.
Yeah, and the thing is...
It's a true story as well.
It is a true story, yeah. And you needed Ray Romano to be good in it. In order for it to be good, and he was, and he delivered, yep. And it was wonderful.
All right, so what are we on, number 8?
Number 8.
So my number 8, Pixar's Coco.
Nice.
We talked about it a couple episodes ago, or probably the last episode, actually.
Yes, the last episode.
So episode 7 of For the Love of Film podcast. So I won't go into detail, but it is an animated film. Deals with Dia de los Muertos, and it's actually a very moving film. You know, some people think it's just for kids because very it's animated, moving. But no, it's a great film.
Yeah. My number 8 is Dunkirk. Came out over the summer, Christopher Nolan's World War II piece. It's funny, I spent a lot of time thinking about it today because I knew that we were going to do this, and I remember telling my dad to go see it, and when it was done, he was like, boy, that was so dark, and it really wasn't. I mean, it was... wonderful, based on a true story and or true scenario from World War II, and it was civilians saving heroes in World War II, and it was fantastic. It was one of Christopher Nolan's best movies, and of course, all of his movies are one of his best movies. But didn't disappoint at all.
I still haven't seen it.
It's lovely. It is dark, but it's lovely.
I still haven't seen it. It's on my to see list. Like, I want to have seen it. I just don't feel like watching it, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
What are we on, 7?
I just did my number 8, so you are 7.
Yeah, my number 7 is also Get Out.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't have much to add to that. I'm kind of chiming in on the ones that I have when Greg mentions them. But, Get Out, way better than I expected it to be, and I was expecting
pretty decent things. We were really surprised.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone who, I don't know. I feel like everyone who's going to appreciate it has probably seen it at this point. Because it did really well at the box office.
Yeah. So. My number seven, another pleasant surprise, Wonder Woman. Because DC has failed at everything, it was nice to see them have a great movie. And they've kind of followed the first Captain America storyline a lot.
Because Captain America also flies an invisible jet.
Exactly. But Gal Gadot was wonderful. She's a great superhero. Robin Wright, also terrific.
It was also nice to see... I mean, Chris Pine was really good in it, but it was nice to see an actor in the traditionally the female role in superhero movies.
Yeah. It was my favorite movie of the summer, by far.
That was one that I considered for my top 10, but it falls into the... what I've talked about in about almost every superhero movie, which is the bright lights in the sky scenario at the end,
right,
where I was tuning out, and also I just didn't believe that David Thewlis could be Ares, the god of war. This pasty, mopey British guy. Right. Great actor, but totally not the right guy. Sorry if that was a spoiler, but if you haven't seen Wonder Woman by now, you don't really care about Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
So number six.
Yeah, you're number six.
So my number six is a film that I actually saw not far from where we're parked right now at the Music Hall. It is my friend Michael Venn's second directorial feature documentary, The Heroin Effect. Michael was actually my very first guest on my other podcast. This is My Truth, Tell Me Yours. We were talking about it. It is about the opioid epidemic in New Hampshire and also in the world in general, but not a depressing film at all. It's very, very hopeful film actually, and it's a film that I think everyone should see. So yeah,
I have not watched it yet, and I should. And it's funny, I've never met Michael, but I feel like I know him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remembered after you saw, because we were going to go to the Music Hall together, and I can't remember why I wasn't able to go. And I was disappointed that I wasn't there because you had a wonderful time.
Yeah. It was a sold-out showing at the Music Hall. In fact, I walked up...
He did two, didn't he? He did a couple of sold-out shows?
Well, he did a second one because it was sold out. When I got there, there was a big sign that... Because I hadn't bought tickets in advance, and I texted him. I was like, hey, man, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it. It's sold out. And then they... some of my peeps at the Music Hall... hi, Zach. Zach. Of my peeps at the Music Hall helped me out. So
nice. Yeah. So that was your six?
Yes.
Okay. My number six is a little movie called Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Not familiar.
I've seen it twice, and I loved it. There are it should have been in my top three, but the my top five are really solid movies this year that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed.
I do know all the people, Janet. I know you. Sorry.
I don't know Janet.
No, Janet lives in California.
Okay. Hi, Janet. But yeah, Last Jedi, I don't think I need to say anything about it. It's not on Scott's top 10 list.
It is not.
I understand why.
Which is funny because I've seen it four times. I had a friend reach out to me yesterday saying, hey, I haven't seen it. Will you go see it with me again? I said yes, because I have MoviePass. And I was like, I haven't watched it with MoviePass. I can get that out of the way. So she's like, all right, what time? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, anytime. And then she just texted me, cool, I bought tickets. I'm like, no! So I have to see it six times?
My daughter Carly's watching. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Carly.
All right, so both my girls are watching.
Yeah. Both my girls, Janet and Zach, are watching.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I just did Last Jedi, Carly. It was my number six of my top 10 list of 2017.
So we on my number five?
Your number five.
So my number five, hello. My number five is a film saw very recently, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, which is talked about that on the podcast before, but it's Martin McDonagh's third feature film, I believe.
Do you want to know what's interesting?
What?
I saw Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri with my daughter, Carly.
Nice.
Yeah. You tuned in just in time, honey.
Yeah. A knockout performance from the always great Frances McDormand.
And Sam Rockwell.
Great performance from Sam Rockwell and a surprisingly excellent performance from Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's not for everyone. It is a little rough for some people, but certainly.
Yeah, it's dark, but it's fun dark. I guess
there is a lot of humor in it. I will let people know, for those sensitive to this sort of thing, the C word is used quite a bit in it.
Quite a bit.
Also the N word.
Yeah.
And the L word. So it's your turn.
All right. That was your number five?
Yeah.
Okay. My number five was It. Came out last September. Stephen King's clown thing, story of, you know, childhood fear and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic movie. Loved it. I'm sad that I only saw it once. I'll definitely watch it again. I had a wonderful time during that. The kids in that movie were pretty much my favorite performances of actors this year.
If you liked them in that, you should watch them in Stranger Things.
I did, and loved them.
I liked it, but I also didn't see it in the right order. I saw the last two-fifths of the movie first, and then the second and third fifths of the movie.
That's the wrong way to watch it.
Yeah, it was not intentional, but so I need to see it again. But it was definitely solid. It's a better interpretation than the miniseries that, or the two-night movie event, because it actually wasn't a miniseries,
right.
That came out 27 years ago. But it was good. It just didn't make my top 10.
Mm.
So what am I on? Four?
You're doing your four.
Oh, my number four was also The Big Sick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Great film.
Great film. My number four was Coco, which was your what? Number
eight.
Eight. Yeah, so we don't need to say anything more about that other than, God, did I cry at the end of that movie.
Yep. All right, so coming into the home stretch. So my number three was one of those movies that technically did come out in 2016. And it's a weird thing to say, but it was actually my favorite film of 2016, if you're just looking at when the movies were released, but it didn't make my list last year because I hadn't seen it yet.
Right.
So, and if it wasn't such a great year for me, it probably would have made my number one this year, was 20th Century Women.
Right.
Came out.
You loved that movie.
Fantastic film. I need to get my copy back. I loaned it to a friend probably 4 or 5 months ago, and
I still have not seen it, and I'm sad that I haven't.
It's interesting. One of the films that is getting a lot of award season buzz right now, which I liked, but I didn't like it as much as a lot of the critics are liking it. Lady Bird, the solo directorial writing debut from Greta Gerwig.
Mm.
Greta Gerwig gives a phenomenal performance as an actor in 20th Century Women. As does Elle Fanning and Annette Bening.
Mm.
Really, really beautiful film.
That was your number three?
Number three.
Okay. My number three is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, for the same reason Scott just mentioned earlier.
But also because of Peter Dinklage.
Exactly. That's right, yeah. Great movie. I knew it was going to be a great movie going in, and it was a great movie, and just didn't disappoint at all. And Frances McDormand was lovely in it.
If you see Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, and you really like it, you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend that you see his movie In Bruges as well.
Mm,
amazing, amazing film.
Yep.
So number two for me, the second of two sequels on my list is Blade Runner 2049.
That's number two? That's
number two, which for several months was my number one.
Mm.
First of all, this is giving a how does what happen that it's my number two?
No, that's from earlier when you watched fractional order or whatever.
In Bruges is great. Blade Runner, this is my publicly admonishing all fans who are like, oh, I still need to see it. Yeah, you do. And guess what? We're not getting another one because you didn't see it. unfortunately, Blade Runner 2049 was a very expensive film to make. It was a huge gamble for the studio to make it. And unfortunately, it didn't pay off because no one went and saw it in the theater.
Right.
Yes, it's a 3-hour film. It's a science fiction film. It's a smart science fiction film. It's a sequel to one of the greatest films of all time, but not really a sequel. It's more an exploration of themes and the world that was created in it. It's an amazing film. Yeah, it was great, Mark. Oh, by the way, Mark, I forgot to message you. We're postponing the Star Wars the Star Wars podcast.
Because you're just telling him this now?
I forgot because he was a last minute. He was like, hey, I'd be into it.
Yeah, that thing you're getting ready to go and do, don't do it.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted on it. I had too many people who canceled.
I have an emergency.
He does have an emergency. but yeah, Blade Runner's fantastic. But, you know, visually, great writing, great acting, but people just didn't get out to see it, and theaters were just anxious to get it out because they couldn't do as many showings in the theater. But I've said it before on this podcast, but for anyone watching right now, if you're a fan of films, especially films that take a risk and do different stuff, go out and see them in the
right.
theater.
Yeah. No, sorry, Zach.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of the theater going experience, and I saw it thrice in the theater. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it might eventually break even, I like to think I'm at least partially responsible for that.
Yeah.
So.
So that was your number two.
Number two.
All right. I went back and forth, and you actually asked me last week if I knew what my number one movie was.
Yep.
So I have two number ones and no number two. So I have two movies that were, I have a movie that was my favorite movie of last year and a movie that I thought was the best movie of last year, and they're not the same. So I decided to
get... last year or 2017?
Of this year.
Okay.
Right, of this year, of 2017. So my number two movie, which was my number one movie for a long time, which I saw back in March and didn't like really that much back in March when I saw it. It took second, third,
this
fourth
viewings.
Is the comedian.
I'm punching you.
It's not the comedian. Was Logan. Logan was by far my favorite movie of 2017. And part of it is the dad thing with... It kind of reminds me of me and my daughter Carly a little bit, and the way we get along or don't get along sometimes.
Because of the knives that
come out of her wrist. Exactly. But yeah, by far my favorite movie of 2017. And
so what, since you said you had a tie,
I want your number one first.
I think you already know what it is.
I have no idea what it is. I thought it was going to be Blade Runner. So my number one movie, Scott's letting me go twice, my number one movie of the year, the best movie I saw in 2017 was Wind River. This tiny little thriller that came out back in end of the summer, September, something like that.
Yeah, like early fall.
And it's interesting because I was watching our last year's video and I made some comment about being angry that a Jeremy Renner movie was in my top 10. Hi, Caitlin. And the best performance I saw by an actor this year was Jeremy Renner. If Wind River was it made about $30 million this year. It didn't, nobody went to go see it. Elizabeth Olsen was fantastic in it. August, thank you, Gary.
That's very early fall.
Yeah, it was the best. I didn't see it till September though, or October. It would be my vote for best picture of the year. It's very dark. It's very beautiful. It's very sad. Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen, and the supporting cast is fantastic. It's a wonderful, dark, beautiful movie.
It's interesting to see Joe Bernthal play someone who's not a complete psychopath.
Yeah, as soon as he comes on the screen, I hate him, and I didn't in this one.
Yeah,
and that's kind of a spoiler, but I don't care. You've had plenty of time to see it.
I really liked Wind River. It didn't make my top 10, but it's the directorial debut by a guy whose name I can't remember. Gary Locke can probably help us out with that.
The Hell or High Water guy.
Yeah, he wrote Hell or High Water and Sicario, but this was his directorial debut as well.
And he wrote the screenplay for it as well.
Right. And he started out as an actor. He was most well known as he was the deputy on Sons of Anarchy and almost gave up acting and had these scripts that he was working on. But this was, he said this was his most personal story.
I believe it.
And wanted to direct it. Yeah, I really liked it. It was interesting. I was listening to a podcast this morning where a guy was going through giving some film recommendations, and he said Wind River but he said, yeah, it's a really fun movie. And I'm like, not a fun movie.
There's nothing fun about it.
No, it's dark. But I mean, excellent film, but fun is not a word I would use to describe it.
And like I said, I was never a Jeremy Renner guy ever.
That's correct.
Okay. Perfect. I thought he was famous for doing nothing. And, people say, oh, The Hurt Locker. He's okay in The Hurt Locker. Yeah. He's fantastic in Wind River. Fantastic.
Yeah, he is good.
As is Elizabeth Olsen in the Clarice Starling role.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zach. It is true.
And Wind River made me totally rethink my opinion about the thong underwear for women. Not a fan, but Elizabeth Olsen turned me around in that.
Good. Okay, so job well done.
Yeah, sorry to be a creep. No, I'm not. If you're watching this far, you know me. So my number one film... I just saw it again now before coming over here.
Last Jedi.
No, but I will see it at least 20 more times because I'm a sadist. Masochist.
Yeah.
Is Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water.
Wow. Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful film. And there's a lot of little visual Easter eggs that I didn't notice the first time that I picked up on this time.
That was one of my honorable mentions that I forgot because I left my notes at home because I'm a bad person.
Yeah. There is a Guillermo del Toro often, speaking of Sons of Anarchy, often works with Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman is not in this film. However, there is a sly little reference to Ron Perlman on the back of the TV guide. There's an ad that says something about it's better with Perlman's, which is clearly a reference to him. There's also some references to Hellboy in it. And no, it's not an Abe Sapien prequel. A bunch of people have speculated about that. He doesn't own the character of Abe Sapien. It doesn't, other than the fact that it's an aquatic man, it doesn't look that much like Abe Sapien. And there's a Hellboy 3 coming out that has nothing to do with Guillermo del Toro, but just a beautiful film.
Still in theaters. You could still go see it now.
Well, technically still in theater in New Hampshire.
Okay, yeah.
I guess it's playing there. I guess it's playing somewhere near Concord. Definitely recommend seeing it in the theater. It's visually stunning, great music. And in fact, when we leave here, I'm going to go to the Bull Moose and see if there's a soundtrack that I can get.
Nice.
They didn't have it in stock when I was there the other day, but I got a Bull Moose gift card for Christmas that I got to use. So so that's our top 10. Is there any movies that you know about next year that you're looking forward to?
The movies that were supposed to come out at the end of this year but got scared because of Star Wars and pushed them to January. I'm looking forward to The Post. I'm looking forward to Molly's Game. Still haven't seen Darkest Hour yet.
Yeah. That was sold out when I was at the theater today.
Yeah.
The theater that I saw The Shape of Water and the heat was broken, and they told us that going in. I was like, I ain't scared. So, and it kind of fit with the theme of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wet for most of the movie.
It is very wet.
I'm trying to think, are you looking forward to Solo?
I am. The right now I can say that the movie I'm most looking forward to that I've been waiting the longest for is Incredibles 2. That's the big movie I'm waiting for next year. No, I am not going to see Phantom Thread. Everything I've heard about it just seems like it's gonna not interest me even a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of want to see Black Panther. I'd say obviously the Avengers, the Infinity Wars is what I'm looking forward to most, although I have a feeling there's going to be the lights in the sky moment for like 45 minutes in that movie, because everyone in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to be in it. Gary, I'm going to try and see The Phantom Thread tomorrow after work down in Boston, because I really want to see it. It looks boring as shit.
Oh, my God.
But Daniel Day-Lewis and Paul Thomas Anderson, so I'll go see it.
Right. And I mean,
yeah, but there's,
Daniel Day-Lewis's retirement.
Yeah, although Paul Thomas Anderson said to Rolling Stone, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to let him get away with that.
Right.
So, and he had, Zach, it was supposed to be two movies, so it's not singular. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, Zach.
Because it's going to bring upon the Kree-Skrull war. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to Solo. Will I see it? Yeah, probably six or seven times. But
that's the quote of the day.
Stop shouting at me, Zach.
Yeah, it's it's I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go see it. This summer was awful for movies.
Not looking forward to X-Men, the new X-Men movie.
No.
Which was supposed to start a new trilogy, but now that Disney owns Fox, they said it will not be the first part of a trilogy. It'll be the last part of a one-a-gy.
Apocalypse did damage. It was so bad. It did damage to my mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy that Marvel now has control of the X-Men, and to a much lesser extent, the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Don't care. It's also interesting because now Josh Brolin will be playing two characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He plays Zach, help me out, big purple dude, Thanos. Yeah, and thank you, Zach. And he also plays Cable in Deadpool.
Right. Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to Deadpool too.
Me neither. Wait, was it you that I was with when we saw that weird Deadpool preview?
Yeah, that wasn't good at all. Deadpool was on my top 10 from last year.
Yeah, mine neither. Wait, did I have a Marvel movie on? I don't know if I had a Marvel movie.
We both had Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah. War singular for Zach.
Yeah, Civil War's go see a Star War. Ready Player One is going to be terrible.
I'm looking forward to Jurassic World 2.
It's Jack. Also going to be terrible.
It doesn't matter. I liked the last Jurassic World. I don't care. I liked it.
I have seen the trailer for Ready Player One. It looks terrible.
Yeah, no thank you.
I mean, we'll go see it. I have Movie Pass. I'll go see anything. That's true. Father Figures.
You did. You did. And we did. Yeah, we did start the year off with the comedian.
We did start off the year with one of the worst films I've ever seen. Yeah. The comedian.
That everybody should be ashamed of.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about terrible movies we've seen this year?
Yeah, why not?
So the comedian, if you've never
heard of it. That was the worst. That was the basement for us this year.
Yeah. I think in the next month, we should do an episode dedicated. We should make our top 10 or bottom 10 worst films of all time and talk about them.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The comedian was terrible. I saw Roman J. Israel Esquire. Happy New Year to you, Di. Roman J. Israel Esquire. Denzel Washington should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
Especially because he was an executive producer on it.
Suburbicon, I should have known better. But, you know, Clooney, the Coen brothers, sometimes that works out okay.
Yeah.
But no, God,
Matt Suburbicon Damon usually doesn't work out.
I've given up on him completely.
I was trying to think after we saw Downsizing, which was a...
I think Scott liked Ant-Man.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Is that next year? I realize because, you know...
Yeah, I'm going to go see Ant-Man next year. I'll probably be sitting next to this guy.
Yeah. I can't remember the last Ant-Man movie I liked. I can't remember the last Matt Damon movie I liked. I mean, I'm sure there was one.
Ocean's 13?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you liked The Martian, didn't you?
I did. I did. But I don't think it was because of him.
Yeah, I think the last good Matt Damon movie I saw was Interstellar. A lot of people say that wasn't a Matt Damon movie. Yeah, he was. Guess what? Turns out to be a bad guy. Sorry, spoiler, 3 years old. I don't care.
That was another one that you could have put any actor in.
Yeah, they didn't need anyone. But
yeah.
And I think it's because...
Much like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I think a lot of movie studios think, the general public thinks of Matt Damon the way a lot of us think of Tom Hanks, and it's not the same.
It's not.
I think of Matt Damon the way I think of plain yogurt. And that, yeah, I guess it's okay. I guess technically it's food.
Yeah.
But not interested.
I'm completely turned off from him now. It's going to take work for me to go see one of his movies because Suburbicon was garbage and Downsizing wasn't that good.
No.
So.
But, I saw a lot of good movies. Greg saw 4 good movies this year.
I saw 10 good movies. And I liked, thank God they turned the Thor franchise around. They did a nice job with that, kind of making a decent Thor movie.
Were there any movies that you were expecting to be good that disappointed you this year?
John Wick 2, but...
Yeah.
Because John Wick would have been in my top 10 in 2014. It was fantastic. John Wick 2 is good. I mean, I bought it, but it just wasn't... I don't know. It's the middle of a trilogy, so you got to see the third one.
Ghost in the Shell. Right? Yeah.
It's the middle of a trilogy, so you got to see the third
one. Right. And that's why I'm kind of holding my tongue about The Last Jedi, because I don't really know how I'll feel until
J.J. Abrams is going to be so safe in episode 9. It's going to be so safe. It's going to be a very safe movie.
Yeah, I can't wait for Lando to turn out to be the real Last Jedi. It's either Lando or Wedge now.
Lando was Snoke.
No, that was Mace Windu.
Okay.
That was my buddy Adam gave me that fan theory beforehand that he didn't come up with a theory, but he was like, it makes a lot of sense. I'm like, does it?
It doesn't.
Because, you know, Mace Windu was not 8 feet tall.
Right.
I was just going to throw out a Last Jedi thought, but it's a spoiler and B, not the Star Wars thing. Yeah, Ghost in the Shell was disappointing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we saw that.
Yeah. What is that, Zach?
That's what's his name? The guy that Grand Budapest Hotel. We saw the preview for that the other night. Literally the Isle of Dogs on the Garbage Island. It's the animated movie.
I didn't see
preview. Downsizing. We saw a preview for it. It's well, who's the guy that did Grand Budapest Hotel?
That must have come up before, because I came in the previews had already started. And
okay.
They brought in my pretzel.
I can't believe you haven't seen that in all the movies that you've seen.
No.
It's forgettable.
I've seen the two previews I've seen 9 times, because I counted now, are for A Quiet Place, which is that John Krasinski, Emily Blunt horror sign language movie.
Did Emily Blunt go? I used to love her.
Yeah.
Wes Anderson, thank you, honey. My child on the spot.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I guess I had known and I forgot until I looked up that movie. But forgot that Emily Blunt is married to Jim Halpert.
Yeah,
and he wrote and directed it as well. And then Alpha, that movie about the first time mankind got a dog. Because they're like,
yeah,
witness the unfolding of the relationship that will change our
they
world.
Are I'm pushing like, the crap out of.
I'm
that
like,
movie.
Really. Having a dog changed mankind forever? I mean, I love my dog, but, you know, I don't know if it changed my life.
Yeah.
Anderson. Mr. Anderson.
I need to watch The Matrix again. That was so good.
The first one is.
The first one. The other two are not good.
Yeah. So I guess that is going to do it for our top 10 2017.
Worst movies of all time top 10. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to. That'll be a good end of January. Shaking off the cold.
Yeah, episode. Good cabin fever one. I'll have to give that some thought.
Yeah. So, thanks for watching, guys, and hopefully you listen to the podcast as well.
Yeah, for the love of film, Scott's podcast. Yeah. Once in a while, I show up, but otherwise,
it's at about 50%.
It's about a 50%. Yeah,
Greg appearance. It's for the love of film podcast. Or for the love of film podcast.com. You can listen to it directly there or on Google Play and iTunes.
Right. And here's what it is. It's not Scott talking about movies. It's Scott talking about current movies that are out in the theater. So if you're thinking to yourself, I'd like to go see blah, 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 you tune into Scott's podcast and he'll tell you his opinion on it.
Yeah. I give reviews of 3 different movies a week.
Yes.
3 current films a week.
Yes.
Yeah. So... hope everyone has a safe and happy New Year's Eve. And hopefully good stuff comes to you in the next year.
All right. We'll see you in 2018.